thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
So it is lovely to be here with you. My name is Danielle McElhinney, as the guys have told you. And it is lovely actually to be at a church so close to home. Sometimes a lot of our stuff can be around Belfast, so I can be doing a lot of travelling. So it's actually quite nice. 5 minutes down the road, that is great for me. And it's nice to look out and see faces that I actually know. There's a few faces that I recognise, people that go way back. So that's always really nice too, isn't it? So I work for the Evangelical Alliance, and for anyone that, is that booming? Are we all right? Anyone that's not too sure about who they are, I'll tell you a wee bit about who we are. So the Evangelical Alliance is a worldwide organisation, but here it started in the UK, in London, back in 1846. So in 2021, we celebrated 170 years, and it's 170 years of making Jesus known throughout the UK. So we're an alliance of evangelicals sharing the gospel across the world and across the UK. And the Evangelical Alliance have had an office here in Northern Ireland since the 1980s, so we're pretty well established. And we exist to serve the church and to strengthen the church throughout the UK. And we're focused on doing three main things. I'm going to tell you them. They're three R's, so they're easy to remember. The first one is relationship. That's what the Evangelical Alliance does. We bring like-minded Christians together across the UK, especially around issues that we really care about. We're reminding churches and Christians across the UK that you're not alone. Even though we're not all the same, we're bringing people together. So that's the first thing we do, it's relationships. The second thing is we share resources. So going back, I actually went onto our website tonight there just to have a quick look to remind myself of our history. And going back over 170 years, so many ways that the Evangelical Alliance has resourced the church. Really practical things around mission and evangelism and around kids ministry, but also things like research. So at the minute we've got a Talking Jesus research that's out, which is about all of the UK, what do people think about Jesus and how do people receive talking about Jesus in the UK, and you'd be surprised. So I really encourage you actually to go and check that out. It's very encouraging to read. So that's our resources, and actually even at the minute we're very cool and trendy and up to date. We've got a podcast. The podcast is called Cross Section. You might want to check that out if that's your kind of thing. The way we describe it is it's at the intersection of faith, news and culture, and basically it's some of our team getting together talking about what's in the news and how that impacts us as Christians and how we respond to that well. So it's always a real interesting read. When Graham's in the shower, I always hear it on in there. He's always listening to it. So that's how I know he knows something about what I do at work. And then the third thing that we do is the third R, it's representation. And this is the one that I think that I can speak on sort of the easiest because it's what I do. My job at the Evangelical Alliance is public policy officer. Now, I was telling Willie that earlier and he says, well, that sounds very posh, and it's so not. My job, though, is to engage with government around issues that really matter to the church and that impact Christians across Northern Ireland. But also my job is to come to the church and to make you aware of those issues and to get you involved and being engaged. So it's not just me going talking, but it's me and others talking about these issues that we care about, that impact us, that matter to us. So we're standing up and we're speaking out on issues that impact the church. And here in Northern Ireland in particular, we know that things are changing. Culture is changing. The Christian worldview is now not held in the esteem that it might have once done. And in fact, we have quite a progressive sort of range of ideologies and worldviews that really want to see our culture and our government and our society go in a different direction to really what we believe God says is good for us. And so that's where we stand up and speak out. And it's not always easy. We're representing you in the corridors of power, so I've had quite a lot of meetings with representatives, MLAs, the civil servants, got a few more in the autumn time coming up, especially around RSE. You'll know that that's a big issue at the minute if you follow us at all on social media. That's relationship and sexuality education. Changes are happening in our schools, but we don't want Christians to be panicked, and we don't want parents to be overly worried. We want to instead talk about the opportunities that lie there, and we want to sort of prepare parents to have conversations with their children, but also have conversations with their schools so that they're engaged in this issue in a really positive way. We always want to represent Jesus well in the world today, not just be people we say no, but actually we're here to talk and we want to, you know, we want to get across our point of view. So that's the sort of work that we do at the Evangelical Alliance. And of course, as I said, we are an alliance. So by becoming a member, you're joining the oldest and largest evangelical unity movement in the UK. And I really encourage you to become members, because what it does is it strengthens our voice. It's not just me and Danielle going to the, you know, to people that make these decisions. It's Danielle and all of the people that support us and are in our membership that we can confidently say we speak on behalf of Christians across the evangelical churches across Northern Ireland. And so I really do encourage you to become a member. You can become a member as an individual, and that actually can include you and your spouse, so we get two for the price of one. And that costs you like £3 a month, I think. Like, it's the cost of a cup of coffee. So it's really not expensive. So I do encourage you, come and talk to me at the back. And we have, because we're very trendy people, we've got a QR code, which you can literally just take a photograph of. It'll take you straight to where you join up as a member. You put your details straight in. We don't have to rely on my spelling, and we don't have to rely on me getting your postcode right and all of that. So that's a great way to join. So I really encourage you, have a chat with me down at the back at the end. Yeah, so that's about the Evangelical Alliance. I've done my pitch, now I'm going to move on. Paul had called me and said, Daniel would love you to come, share a wee bit about the Evangelical Alliance, and also give a word of testimony. And at that, my ear pricked up, because normally when I get invited to go and speak about a particular issue. And normally it's around things to do with advocacy and policy and being engaged on issues. So it's actually quite nice to get that free sort of range, come and share a bit of testimony. And I was thinking about testimonies, and I was thinking, you know, around church we say things like, oh, that person's got a really amazing testimony, haven't they? Have you heard their testimony? Oh, they've got a great testimony. And what that usually means is they've had some kind of wildlife or, you know, crime or drugs or, you know, been really ill and God miraculously healed them, or there's some big story. And they have a great testimony of how God came in and saved them and rescued them or set their feet upon a rock or lifted them out of a terrible situation. And that's wonderful. And I rejoice with those. But I haven't got one of those stories. I've got a really ordinary story. But tonight I wanted to share with you just something of the ordinary, because I think a lot of people can relate to that. Now, you might have a really exciting story and I'd love to hear it. But a lot of you probably just have like a bit of an ordinary story, but it's no less amazing. And it's no less God moving in your life, and it's no less God's power at work in your life. So I thought I would share a little bit of testimony and weave a little bit of something that I've been thinking about too, from the Word into it. So we'll start at Psalm 136, and I'm going to read you it. And I'm going to put my glasses on because the writing's quite small in my Bible. So here we go. Psalm 136 says this. You can read along if you have your Bible. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever. It's a bit repetitive, isn't it? And brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever. And brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. Feel free to join in if you know the words. To him who struck down the kings, his love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, his love endures forever. Sion, king of the Amorites, his love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, his love endures forever. And gave their land as an inheritance, his love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel, his love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate, his love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies, his love endures forever. He gives food to every creature, his love endures forever. And the last one, you can join me in with me. Give thanks to the God of heaven, his love endures forever. It's a good one, isn't it? I really like it. It's sort of easy for you to catch on what's being said. Psalm 136 is a psalm or a song or a poem, if you want to call it that, written by King David. As the king and the spiritual leader of Israel at the time, he wrote many songs and poems, and they were used as part of their worship in the tabernacle in their church. And it says in Chronicles that David appointed singers, worship leaders, chose them by name to give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. So there was something important about these words, because David wanted them to be sung in their church by their people every single day. He wanted to be part of their everyday worship. And what it is a list of the goodness of God. It's a story of how God came alongside the Hebrew people. It's their story. It's their story of how God was good to them. And David thought that it was important that they remember it. And so the words, his love endures forever, they're repeated over and over and over and over again. And in different translations of the Bible, you're going to find it saying slightly different things. So the New Living Translation says, his faithful love endures forever, which is actually what we heard in Chronicles there. In the Passion Translation, if any of you have read that, his tender love for us continues on forever. Slightly different. And in the Amplified Version, now Graham likes to say that I'm the Amplified Version. Why use five words when you could use 5,000? The Amplified Version says, for his loving kindness, which is his graciousness, his mercy and compassion, endures forever. And finally, the Message is so straight talk and gets straight to it and says, his love never quits. His love never quits. There's one Christian commentator that says this, I was amazed that I had never taken notice of it before, because God, the consummate communicator, doesn't repeat himself without the intent of getting our attention. Psalm 136, God is trying to get our attention. He's trying to tell us something. And the chapter covers multiple ways that God's faithful love endures forever. So in the first few verses, it's talking about the Lord. He's Lord over everything and everybody. He's so high. He shows his enduring love by bending down to us. In verses 4 to 9, it talks about creation. God shows his enduring love by creating everything and sharing it with us. In verses 10 to 16, then, it goes on to talk about these great, mighty acts that he does. God shows his love by making a way where there seemed to be no way for the people of Israel. Verse 17 to 20 talks about destroying enemies. You know, you hear these names, the Amorites and the Shiites and all sorts of ites, and they were the enemies of the people of Israel, and it says that God destroyed them. He showed his love. He showed his love by combating those things that threatened the people that God loved. And then at the end, we see God being a good giver of gifts. He makes provision. And I noted just a few of the verses going through here that I especially liked. Verse 14 and verse 16 say similar things, that God brought Israel through the midst of the Red Sea, and he led his people through the wilderness. Who here can say that God has led them through some pretty rough patches, some pretty rough ground? I hope that many of you can have that testimony and say, God has walked me through so many times where it's been rough. I didn't want to be there. It all looked pretty desolate, but God brought me through. And that's my testimony today, and I'm going to tell you a bit about it in a minute. Verse 23, it says, "He remembered us in our low estate." Who here can say that God has seen you at your lowest ebb, at your pretty ugly stage, crying in the corner with the mascara running down your face, wondering what the heck you're going to do? I've made such a stupid mistake. I'm so silly. What have I done? I said something really awful. I treated somebody really terrible. He sees us in our low estate. He knows that we're only human, and he still shows his enduring love to us. I think we can all. I've got a big mouth. I get myself into so much trouble with things that I say. I say too much, and God sees that, and he knows that. I'm like, oh God, I'm so sorry yet again. But he forgives me, and he sees me, and he shows his enduring love to me. Verse 24, it says he frees us from our enemies. Who here can say that there have been things that have come against them? Things that have trapped you, where you felt trapped in it. Who here can say that there's been times when you felt like just everything seems against you? Everyone seems against you. Nothing's going right. We have an enemy. He is the enemy of our soul. He wants to destroy us. We're not unclear about that. We're not naive about that. We have an enemy. He wants to imprison us. He wants to threaten us. He wants us to feel afraid. But God frees us from those enemies. Who of us here today can say that God has freed us from something that held us back, that held us down, that imprisoned us, that made us feel small, that we couldn't feel that we were moving forward? I think so many of us could say that. And in verse 25, when it says he gives food to every creature, God practically provides. Who here can say that God has provided for them? When you thought, flip, I can't pay that bill, and somehow, some way, God made a way. Or when you thought, I'll never have my own home, and God provided. When you thought, everything's fallen apart, I have no money, how am I even going to buy food? Somehow, some way, something has turned up. And there's a million different ways that God provides for us. I think many of us here will have that testimony tonight. So Psalm 136 is a good prompt for us to remember all the ways that God's love has endured through all the seasons of our life, through every season of our life. He's faithful in every season. He's close to you in every season. He helps you in every season. And he's strong in every season. And he doesn't let you down. Psalm 136 is that great prompt to look back and to remember. His love endures in every season of life. And I'm going to share with you just a few of the seasons of my life. Just a few moments. Goodness, if it was to tell you at all, we'd be here all night. But I look back to my upbringing. Paul and Esther know my parents. I grew up in church, Christian family, became a Christian myself when I was like four in my very simple way. Grew up with horses, fun, fresh air outside. It all seemed very wholesome. Grew up in church, church family, knowing what it's like to have kids in church is so important. Have your kids in church, part of the church family, part of the community. You just don't know what you're depositing in their lives. In my teenage years, we had great youth leaders, and they just inspired me. They made me feel like I could be a Christian, even though it was hard at school. Like, I went to the non-denominational Pentecostal church. My parents were the pastors, so basically I was in a cult, according to people in my church. That was tough to be a Christian, but God was so faithful. God's love endured through that. I had a wonderful childhood. And I know that's not everybody's story. So I say thank you to God. I give thanks to God. That's my testimony. Thank you, God, for a stable, secure, loving upbringing. Because I know that's not everybody's story. And I know the effect that that has on later life. Another season in my life is that then of meeting Graham and having our own family. And without embarrassing Graham, he's so quiet. He'll not want me to say anything about him. But Graham has been brilliant. He's just been fantastic. He's the best person for me. God just brought him into my life when I was 18. We were married by the time I was 20. He's wonderful. He is wonderful. And I think that marriage sometimes gets a bad rep, whatever the word is. And I think that as Christians, we need to say more about how great marriage is, about how good it is, because it's been great. It's been great being married to Graham. He's been a blessing in my life. And we've been through that season of having children and of starting our home. And let's be honest, bringing up children is the most wonderful gift, but it's also one of the hardest things that you will ever, ever do. The days are long and they can be hard. And small children will push you to the edge of what you actually think that you can cope with. God was faithful through those years when Graham was out working very long hours and I was at home with kids. God was faithful. And do you know when he was faithful? When they were teens. I mean, they still are teens, some of them, but good kids. We've got really good kids. Amelia, Ewan and Peter. Amelia is now 21 and at uni. Ewan's 18, heading off to music college. And Peter is 14, so he's at home. He's the wee one, but he's still at school. And they're great kids, and I love them, and I am so proud of them. But they're totally different. And Amelia, she was my challenge in life. She's very like me, which is probably why we butt heads. She was just full of her own self-determination, knew who she wanted to be, what she was going to do, and she was doing it. And I was not getting in her way. And of course, being the controlling mother that I was, I wanted to be in control. She was my biggest challenge of all of my kids. And I can say that to you because I've said it to her. God was faithful in those days when I thought I was actually going to hair her, those days when I thought I was going to actually kick her out the door. God was faithful. I can look back and say God was faithful and brought me through that. And I can now give the testimony that we have such a better relationship because she's in Liverpool. And I... People say, did you cry when she left? No, I didn't cry when she left. I rejoiced when she left. But the truth... I know I'm joking. I love her so much. But the truth is that we have a better relationship, not in the house together and not just on top of each other. And we love each other. And she phones me about everything and we talk about everything. So I can say that the Lord has been faithful in that relationship. Where if you had asked me that 4 or 5 years ago, that wouldn't have been my testimony just at that point. It would have been something else. So the Lord has been faithful in those seasons. And then another season is that season of work and career, and what are you going to do with your life, and who are you going to be when you grow up? I'm still trying to work those things out, and I'll be completely honest with you. I've had a bit of a mixed bag. I'm kind of one of those jack of all trades. I don't know if I'm a master of any of them. When I came out of uni, I started my own business. It was pretty successful, but then the economic problems hit, the business hit problems, and it finished. Let's not go into the details. The business finished. I felt a failure. I was in my 20s, in my early 20s, and I felt a failure. And then I kind of went into a season of having my kids anyway, and I came back after a few years thinking, right, I have to go back to work, but I had no confidence in myself. So I worked in the bank, and then I started to work for my church, doing finance for them. And eventually I came to the realization at the age of 39 that I'm not made for finance, I'm not made for numbers, I'm actually made for words and communication. That's what I love. So I went back to uni, I've been back and done my master's in communication and PR, and now I'm working in political communication. Really, it's a communication role that I have with the EA, and I work for myself doing PR for charities. But I'm still working that out. I'm still working that out, and that's just the honest truth. I'm working out who I'm going to be when I grow up, what I'm going to do. I feel like I have a lot of experience, but I don't exactly know where it's all heading. But God's faithful in that. God's faithful. I hear his voice over and over saying to me, you're going to be okay. I've got a place for you. I've got a way for you. God is faithful. His love endures through every season of life. And then I go to talk about the things that are probably more on the inside. And we've all got those inside things. And something that I have really struggled with all of my life has been insecurity. And it's because I so want people to like me. And that's just the honest truth. That sounds so shallow, but it's true. I'm looking for approval. And God has just been having me on a journey of learning that I only need the approval of one. I only need to be approved by him, and I am. And he loves me, and he accepts me, and he thinks I'm great, whether you do or not. And that is a journey too, and that is a season, and that is something that I'm going through and learning through and maturing in. God has been faithful in that. I have seen him grow me in that and stretch me in that in ways that have been uncomfortable at times, but he's been good. He's been faithful in those seasons. And then it comes to where I'm at now. And I'm in my 40s, and things change when you're a woman in your 40s. Now, I know all you men and all you young ones don't want to hear about this, but things do start to change when you're in your 40s. And I see women in the room that are similar age to me, so I think you're probably going to know. Now, I'm not going to go into details, don't worry. But hormones change, you start to feel differently, you start to go through things and you think, hold on a minute, I don't feel myself. So, you know, there have been things that I have had challenges with around anxiety and panicking and forgetting words, forgetting people's names, people that I know. And so it's a season. It's a season I'm going through and I'm kind of saying to God, right, this is the season I'm in. You're going to have to be faithful, God. You're going to have to be faithful in this season. And he is. So far, he is. And I really believe that he is going to continue to be. And one of the things that came to my mind as I was reading Psalm 136 was how the wonders and the wilderness go hand in hand. They kind of run on the track at the same time. There's the wonders of God. He does amazing things. He does good things. And then there's the wilderness, which is just, you just don't know why God ever let that happen. And we have seen both in our lives. And some of the wonders that we've seen, like we have seen friends healed of cancer. That's amazing. I give God glory for that. Because doctors gave, you know, our neighbour, our doctors gave her months to live. But somehow, some way, the situation changed. They went in, they did some sort of surgery. And they've saved her life. And she came to me, a non-Christian, saying, I know that's because you were praying. I mean, that's God. God only does those things. That's not just per chance, happen chance that these things happen. And then I think about friends. We have friends that we've known for years. And it was heartbreaking as they went through infertility. And standing with them and praying with them, they're now the parents of three small children. Now, I look at them and I think, I'm so glad I don't have three small children because they look wrecked. But God has blessed them with three small children. That is the wonder of God at work. And we have seen that. And so I give testimony to, we have seen good things in our lives. Even though this is just an ordinary life that I'm leading, I'm still seeing the wonders and the wilderness at times as well. But my testimony through all of those seasons is that God is faithful. God has been faithful. His love toward me has endured. And I want to take you back just to the translation. We were talking about translations earlier. The original basic translation of his love endures forever. If you actually go back to the Hebrew of that, it translates in a very strange kind of a sentence. It's because forever is his mercy. Because forever is his mercy. And I think there's something very poetic about that. It's lovely, but it's not how we would really say it. Some translations don't use the word love at all. Instead, they choose the original word mercy, which is chesed or C-H-E-S-E-D in Hebrew. I don't know how to pronounce Hebrew. It has the very, very full meaning of loving kindness, unfailing love, or a steadfast covenant love. And I just wanted to talk about covenant love just for a wee minute as we come in towards the end here. God's love is not a gushy love. It's not like romance on TV. It's not fickle. It's not based upon whether he fancies it today or not, whether he can be bothered with you today or not, whether he can put up with you today or not. And it's not easily shaken by us or anything that we do or anything that we say. His love, mercy, chesed, is founded on faithfulness. His faithfulness. Because he is bound by a covenant, a promise, an agreement. There is a certainty in his promise that you won't find anywhere else in the world, not in a business contract, as tight as it is, or a marriage commitment, as much as they love each other, or even that protective sort of mama bear love of a mother for their child. You're not going to find the certainty of and the promise that God makes, that chesed mercy. Because forever is his mercy. And I want to take you to Hebrews 6, where it talks a little bit about Abraham and covenant and explains it a little bit more. It says in Hebrews 6, verse 16, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation just because I like how it explains it. It says this, Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath, so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure. How sure? Perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we, that's you and me, those who believe in Jesus, those who have fled to him for refuge, can have great confidence. How much confidence is that? It's great. It's a lot. As we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. We have an even greater promise than Abraham. Abraham's promise sounds like it was pretty tight. It sounds like it was pretty unbreakable, completely unbreakable. But the one that we have is even greater because we have Jesus. Abraham didn't have Jesus yet. We have Jesus. We have Jesus and all the promise that goes with the gospel. Saved from our sins, forgiven for all of the wrong that we've done, freedom from all of those things that hold us back, peace in this world that is so frantic. We have the full promise of Jesus. And just like Abraham, we can be perfectly sure, not just a wee bit sure, but perfectly sure that God will never change his mind. He's never going to change his mind about how much he loves you and how committed he is to you. Never. And through Jesus, we can have great confidence and hope for whatever the future holds, for whatever the season that we're in right now and the one that's coming next, we can have great hope. So about 10 years ago, I started writing the blog. I only wrote it for about a year because I wasn't committed enough. But I did actually really enjoy it. And it came to my mind this morning as I was prepping this. And I went back and looked at it. It's called Word Sharp. Danielle McElhinney, Word Sharp, if anybody wants to go and read it. And I did a three-part series, and it's all about Psalm 136 and the faithful love of God and how it connects into Hebrews, talking about covenant love and about just the fuller exploration of that. So it's a three-part series called He's a Sure Thing. So if anybody's interested, you can go away later and have a wee read at that, and it'll explain a wee bit more about what I've been talking about today, a bit more expansion on it. But Psalm 136 reminds us to look back over the seasons of our lives and to be thankful for God's faithful love that endures through it all, because forever is his mercy. And Hebrews 6 encourages us to look forward with hope and confidence, feeling safe and secure because we are anchored to the one who is completely committed to us. Completely, perfectly, no question about it. He's not going to change his mind. That's how much we are loved. And that's how certain you can be and anchored that you can feel for every season of your life. So I thought as we finished up today that I would read Psalm 136. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And this is one of those times, you know the way you're not supposed to drift off in church and think about other things? You know the way that's very naughty? Well, this is where I actually want you to. As I'm reading Psalm 136, I want you to start thinking back through all the things that, all the seasons of your life, and pick out just some of the things, like I picked out a few of the things in my life, and say thank you to God. Thank you, God, that your faithful love has endured through every season in my life. Be thankful and then be confident that he's going to be faithful for the rest of it. So let's read it together. Psalm 136. And you can read out loud with me if you want, because there's a lot of repetition. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand, an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever, and brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, his love endures forever, and killed mighty kings, his love endures forever. Sion, king of the Amorites, his love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, his love endures forever. And gave their land as an inheritance, his love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel, his love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate, his love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies, his love endures forever. He gives food to every creature, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Why? Because his love endures forever. And I'm just going to pray for you now, but I just wanted to say that if there's anyone here that doesn't know this Jesus that I'm talking about, this God whose love just endures forever, if there's anybody here and you're wondering about that and you'd like to be introduced, please come and speak. Paul, Esther, me, we'd love to introduce you to Jesus. We'd love to introduce you to that love that will endure forever in your life. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just want to say thank you for each and every person here. You know them, you created them, you've seen their lives right from day one, and you're going to be there right into eternity, watching over them. I want to say thank you, Lord, for your love that endures forever. And thank you that that promise is for each of us. It's not for somebody else that's maybe better than me or better than you. It's not for somebody else in another row. It's for all of us, each of us, the faithful love of God. And we want to just say thank you, God. Thank you for all the ways that you've been faithful through all the seasons of our lives, even when we haven't been faithful, even when we've been rotten, rotten in our sin or even rotten Christians. You have been faithful. Your love has been good and kind to us. Thank you for each of the ways that you've shown up in our life. It's great to look back. Hindsight's a wonderful thing because we can look back and say, ah, I see where God was at work there and I didn't really recognize it at the time. Thank you, Lord, that you're faithful to each of us. And thank you, God, that we can have confidence that you're always going to be faithful. And that hope in our life anchors our soul, anchors us, stops us from flailing around and going off piste. Thank you, God. You are so good to us. We love you and we say thank you and we bless you, Lord. And we go out into this week full of confidence, knowing that you're never going to change in how you feel about us because you're committed to us, a covenant love. I pray for everyone, for each family. God bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.